Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Life and Love in the Q. And this is part three of our series on God, religion, identity, and all things Dr. Trisha Peterson. I mean, not all things. There's so many things to learn about her, but
I know I'm starting to think, holy cow, people, are you going to be tired of my voice?
No. I could listen for days. So in our last episode, you were talking a little bit about your connection with your church and the community of church, and really the point where people knew your son was gay. You were still trying to go to church and be a part of it, but the community, the feel of community changed. And so kind of that's the theme for today, is all about community.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it before, but I don't think it's just my church, but I do think a lot of times when people are actively participating in a church congregation of any kind, it really does become a very pervasive part of their lives. So it informs how they do a lot of things. And a lot of that, especially as adult, have you noticed how hard it is to make friends as an adult?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you don't have kids, I'm like, where do they meet? Where do you find other grownups?
I'm realizing if you don't have younger kids and you don't drink, where do you meet people? And what do you do to like foster deeper connections with people? So church is one of those places that people go like to engage in friendship activities. And like your church community becomes not just who you attend Sunday services with, but again, in my church, it's who you call if you have a surgery. It's who brings the meal train to you. It's who you call if you're stuck in a car accident and you can't reach your family. Like it is your community. And one of the things that I find really interesting about the concept of community is it is who helps carry your burdens a little bit. Have you ever noticed if you're telling somebody else about a stress that you're having, a fear that you're having, the fear just automatically seems to lighten if you're sharing it with somebody who loves you sincerely? Like, have you ever noticed that before?
Sure, absolutely.
If you're sharing it with somebody like at the gas station or the grocery store, you just kind of feel like a complainer. But if I did a grief masterclass a couple of weeks ago and I called a friend and I said, just so you know, I'm having a lot of anxiety about this. And I like listed three things and she's like, oh, I can hear that anxiety in your voice. Trisha, I got you. Like, yeah. I'm over here cheering. And she lives in Vienna. I mean, there's nothing she could do to help me, but just say, I'm here for you. And like, all of a sudden, the anxiety was just manageable enough that I could keep going.
Yeah, I almost think, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, there's so many instances in the church where people struggle and the church community will pray for them.
Yes.
And so I wonder if it's a similar thing of like just knowing that people are thinking about you, caring about you, sending you loving energy is what we need.
So I actually love that you mentioned that because I did have somebody reach out to me on a private message. And that was one of their things that was leading to them feeling disconnected from their church community was she said, you know, when this member's family had a child that was born with handicap concerns, the ward just rallied around that family to figure out ways to help the mom while she was navigating this newborn with handicap. When I was pregnant with my son, I shared this story on Facebook a little bit. My lupus was way out of control, and getting this kiddo to earth was, it took a village. And we had ward members that fasted and prayed for our family for months on end to get this baby to birth safely and helpfully. So yeah, we rely on people's prayers and support. We rely on people to come and stop by and help out. And if you have an LGBTQ situation, it's not talked about. Like, it's totally silent. Nobody wants to talk about it. And this woman shared a story of they were in a book club and somebody had recommended the book that was written by one of the Quorum of the 12. That's the top leadership in our church, the Quorum of the 12. One of them has a brother that's gay and the brother had written a book. Mm. And so somebody recommended maybe we could read this for book club and just so that we can really understand and be a little bit more inclusive and supportive in our ward. And she said nobody showed up for the book club.
Wow.
And she has a child that identifies gay. And how does that make you feel? Do you feel loved and supported, or do you feel like you have to mask and hide your story?
Well, it's talking about the whole I'll pray for you thing. That's probably the one time where when you identify as LGBTQ or you're supporting the LGBTQ or have a family or friend that comes out and then you get the I'll pray for you. I would say that's the one time where I'm like, nope, nope, you can keep those prayers because it doesn't feel like it's coming across with love and good energy and support. It's like, I hope you'll change. I hope this isn't
well, then part I'm of gonna, your life. I'm going to give the prayer okay. that people can say. I will pray okay. that you will find loving members of your community. Mm. I will pray that you will find support in any way that you need it. Yeah. I pray that you have the courage to learn the language that you might not have. I mean, there are prayers, but we don't need to pray that the situation will change. I think that's the thing that is so crazy to my mind is we need community so badly in our world, so badly. We can't do this life alone. We weren't intended to do this life alone. I think especially in my church, but I would say many churches, there's this belief that if I hold space for your story, then that means I have to change my beliefs. Nobody has to change anybody's beliefs. Believe what you want, but do not assign judgment to me.
Yeah.
So going along with everything we've been talking about, that I think that's one of the challenges is anytime that there's a discrepancy between your sense of self and your community's sense of either what you should be doing or these are the rules and standards by which you can be part of our community. Doesn't matter how they phrase it, but if there's a discrepancy between the two, you no longer belong. I know people ask me this all the time. Why? Just leave then. If the community doesn't want you, just leave. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I said this to my therapist the other day, at what point do you disentangle your life? Like, how do you walk away from something that is, I was thinking about dating. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to date somebody who has a little bit of a knowledge of the LDS religion, because they're going to have to understand a little bit where I come from. And it's complicated if you've never been in it, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Just walk away.
Yeah.
I said, what part of your story do you walk away from? I don't know.
Where do you consider yourself right now then with your church community? Like, have you been able to keep a connection with a community? Have you stepped out completely? Are you kind of straddling the line there?
I'm not straddling like my beliefs at all. Like as far as the fundamental beliefs, if that makes sense, like I still have a really great relationship with Jesus. I actually feel like my spiritual connection has never been higher. Like I said, I lost all my friends. So I've not been back into a church building since the day that my son and I went. I haven't been back since then into a church congregation. And I don't know how I would walk back in. Where I am right now is I don't know.
Do you feel like you had to walk away from your church community or like they walked away from you?
I think for me, it was super complicated, I'll be honest, because there was so much happening. In hindsight, I look back and I am 100% sure that I had a good, solid nervous breakdown. Mm. And I feel like that kind of lined up with right prior to COVID. This is my perspective. I feel like there were so many things that I was getting more and more vocal about. So if they were having a conversation about LGBTQ marriage, I could no longer sit and be quiet. So I think that I kind of became that crazy member of the church that is always raising her hand saying, I don't think that's true.
Actually.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see you sitting there with your little research paper. Like, Exactly. I don't know if you've seen this.
Can we point this out, please? So I feel like there was that. And then I feel like COVID happened and people weren't in church for a long time. And it was just really easy for me just to slip away and not be found. And that's one of the things that, like I said, I've had a couple people reach out and say they're really, really surprised that it does seem when they look around at people that they know have the LGBTQ background or LGBTQ family member, it does seem like those are the ones that the church stops reaching out to. For me, that's how I didn't have anybody reach out to me personally. But I do know that there was a lot of conversations with my ex-husband about what was happening with me and my faith. It's a patriarchal church. So, of course, they would call the husband to find out what's happening with the wife. Like, so let's not just talk to her. But
right.
That's my perspective. Somebody else could be sitting in the room and saying,
This is a little bit of a tangent, but something I'm curious about. It seems like when it comes to religion and the LGBTQ, why are there such strong feelings against, like, in the scheme of sins that are out there, that are listed for people who believe in sin? And why is the LGBTQ, why does it seem like it's one of the sins that people are fighting hardest or have the hardest time having the conversations around? Like, adulterers can still come into the church. People who've had sex before marriage are not necessarily villainized in the same way.
I'm going to say in my church, anything that has to do with sex is villainized. In my church, premarital sex is equal to murder.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how we teach it. So point blank, non-married sex is equal to murder.
Okay.
Yeah. So my answer to you coming from an LDS perspective is anything that has to do with sex is a sin, unless it's a man and a woman married. And unless it is missionary sex, just straight on, like oral sex is bad. Masturbation is bad in my church. Mm-hmm. Anal sex is bad in my church.
Basically anything that can't lead to potential conception.
Yes.
Okay. And I had heard that as an interpretation in the Bible that maybe it wasn't necessarily anti-LGBTQ, but more so that the Bible or religions are against any sex that won't potentially result in conception.
I saw a crazy meme the other day that made me angrier than snot, because I had totally forgotten about it. But there's a phrase that my religion uses that says that loud laughter is a sin. And I was like, wait, do we say that? And then it dawned on me, like I remembered where that message is taught. And I was like, oh my gosh, my church does. My church says loud laughter is a sin. And the person that I was listening to on a different podcast, she said that basically religion hates pleasure. So if it's pleasure, just carnal, physical pleasure,
yeah,
and it's bad because it takes you away from the spirit, which I totally don't agree on. And I'm just,
I was going to say, God put so many nerve endings there. There are so many nerve endings. Okay. Anyway, that
was a tangent.
Yep. Okay. So it's not necessarily just the LGBTQ. There's a lot of things within the church that you could be pushed out of the community for.
Oh yeah.
So many things.
I only have one LGBT. Well, two. But one who strongly identifies LGBTQ of my six, but none of my kids feel like they belong, and all for very different reasons. It's so fascinating. I've learned so much, I have to be honest, from my kids. In a lot of ways, my kids don't have the same wounding that I have. I'm not going to put it on a linear scale in any way, because I don't want to say there's some that are worse or easier. Kind of going back to the beginning, it's like Minnesota ice and Texas ice. You can't compare the two. But I've learned a lot from my kids and their journeys. And to be honest, I have two of my kids who have really been instrumental on helping me refine God in a way that was more aligned with what I had been tying God to the religion for so long that I thought that my relationship with God was based on my worthiness in the religion. And what I think is super interesting is, so in our church, we have temples and you have to pass worthiness exams to be able to go to the temple. And I still could pass the worthiness exam. Like, if you look at me from that perspective, except that I do say more swear words, but that's not part of the worthiness exam. That's the only thing that is different than I was 10 years ago, except I don't go to church either, I guess.
Yeah. Then part of me wonders. So, I mean, with the concept of sin, I've they say that like everyone has sinned to them. So who is allowed to be part of the church community? Is it just the people who mask it?
Yeah. I mean, anybody can be part of it. But again, do you want to belong? Mm. Can you sit there and feel like you're worthy enough to belong? That's what I think is super interesting to me is in hindsight, when I look back and I think about all those years that I thought I was trying to prove my worth to God, I wasn't. I was trying to prove my worth to man. Mm. God always knew my worth, right? I didn't have to prove anything to God. I was born worthy to be here. And I came for the sole purpose of learning love and joy. Like, I'm a good enough scriptorian to know the reason that I was born was love and joy.
Yeah.
That's it. I wasn't born for any other reason, you know, to prove my worth for 70 years of my life. That's not why I came. Religion breeds perfectionism, and perfectionism is a characteristic of hiding. Perfectionism relies on us hiding our flaws and over-exaggerating our strengths. This is a longer conversation, but perfectionism has five key factors, five key different ways that it manifests. And one of them is perfectionistic self-presentation, PSP. And it is the belief that the only way that you are acceptable, lovable, and worthy of belonging is to show only your perfect side. And to me, the LDS church is very, very much about perfectionistic self-presentation. So you show only your best, which means anybody who is outside of that struggles to feel like they belong. The LGBTQ experience is huge in that because you're already so full of masking tendencies when you are on the early stages of the LGBTQ identity experience.
There is so much to go into here. I would like to wrap up these thoughts on community. Where do you go when you're in the in-between?
Well, what I would say right now, no matter where you are, if you're listening to this, whether or not you feel like you belong to your community. So whether you're listening because you yourself identify as LGBTQ, you love somebody who identifies as LGBTQ, or you just want to be more prepared to understand the LGBTQ community or any community. You've got somebody in your life who's a teenage pregnancy. It all falls into it. Just like the stock market, diversify your community. Do not put all your eggs in one basket, especially if religion is the bonding ingredient. So Where do you go in the void? You need to start finding people who you can share your story with. If you're masking and you want to belong, that's okay. If you're part of a community that requires that you mask, but you really want to be there, I don't want to mask right now. I'm not in the place where masking is healthy for me. I'm really not in a place where masking is healthy for me. So me walking into the church building is not a safe place for me because I don't know who my allies are yet. I have no idea who my allies are. There's been nobody that's reached out and said, I will be your ally. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So for me personally, that's a big one, is if you're masking, but you want to be there, then go. Don't break with your community if you're feeling good, but diversify and find another community also that can support you in hearing that.
Well, and that's how you and I met, was in a spiritual women's community, a virtual one.
Yeah.
And when I found out that you were a member of the LDS, I was fascinated because again, it's like, well, if you already have them, then why are you in this woo-woo? We're not tied to any specific religion. We just, you know, love God or spirit or the creator, or energy, universe, whatever. Everyone called it different names. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Way to diversify your portfolio.
I've got a pretty diverse portfolio.
I say it's paying off in dividends. I think I'm going to close out this. There was a quote I was just looking for from Glennon Doyle that I remember reading back in the day. And I think it kind of sums up this with so much of what we mentioned this episode, where she said, acting perfect at church is like getting dressed up for an x-ray. In that God knows who you are and what's inside of you. And so, you know, who cares what pants you have on for your x-ray? They're going to see your guts anyways.
I love that.
All right. On that note, in our next episode in this series, we're going to go into some questions and comments that you and I have received from listeners along the way relating to God, religion, identity, and the LGBTQ. So I'm excited to dive into that. Thanks to everyone who has listened here. And thank you, Dr. Tricia, for being so open and vulnerable and brave to share your story and experience.
You're welcome. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveintheque@gmail.com. Until next time, Q Crew.